The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now joining us is Paul Williams, journalist at Media House Ireland, covering the Irish Independent and the Sunday Independent. Paul, you're here, of course, to mark today being 3 decades, 30 years since the tragic and brutal killing of your friend and colleague, Veronica Guerin. You wrote a really powerful piece in the Irish Independent where you described that moment as Ireland's JFK moment. I think most people would say that's pretty much undeniable. Tell us your memory of that day when you heard about the news of Veronica's terrible murder.
I was in the Sunday World. It was a nice sunny day. It was just after 1 o'clock. Veronica was shot at exactly 12:54. And we know this because her murder was recorded on her message minder. And I got a call from a very close family friend of ours. He was a detective, Sean O'Brien. And he had been involved in minding us, and that's how we got to know him. But anyway, he was one of the first cops on the scene. He literally arrived within 3 or 4 minutes or 5 minutes after the incident. So I got a call less than 10 minutes after Veronica had been shot. And then he said to me, look, his voice was different to normal. And he said, you know, he said, have you heard anything? And I said, no. And he said, there's been an incident. And then he started going to say, they've gone after Veronica again. And I said, yeah, what? And I said, is she okay? He said, no, she's dead. And I says, Jesus, you're winding me up. And he says, no, she's dead. I'm standing looking at her. And the other thing he said, don't come up here. And of course, I was in the Terranure. We were based in Terranure. I jumped in the car. I had this, you know, I was always a bit lively behind the wheel myself, no more than Veronica. And I got up there I don't know how quick I got up there, but I got up there very, very quickly. And what I do remember is getting out of the car. The phone kept going all the time on the way up. People ringing, guards ringing to say what had happened. And the calls were coming in on the radio net. And I remember seeing 3 or 4 guards walking towards me. Veronica's car was there. There were squad cars sort of hemmed around it. And this was before they got this awful tarpaulin they put over the car. And they were ashen-faced. I remember that. And they looked shocked. Now, cops normally on the crime scenes are steely-faced. You know, they're stoic and they don't show emotion. And they were so shocked. And as I went, I just propelled my body towards the car, and I remember a guard coming up to say, Jesus, Paul, we're so sorry, it's your colleague. And nobody stopped me, and I went straight up to the car. And then that was the thing that, you know, would never leave you. I saw her dead in the car, and it was clear that she'd been shot in the middle of her body. She was still in the safety belt. And I cannot still, after 30 years, and, you know, I often talk to you about this through the years, and I've often described this 30 years ago, and I've written about it and everything, and every time I talk or write or think about that night or that day, I get a cold chill down my spine. And my legs went from under me, my mouth went dry, I started getting sick,
You were physically sick?
I was physically sick. I just, my whole body went into some kind of spasm. The world, at that moment, you know, it changed Ireland. You know, it changed everybody. Everybody remembers where they were. Even in the past few days, I've been talking to all these young researchers for TV and radio and stuff, you know, and none of them were born at the time, but all of them intuitively know about Veronica Guerin's murder. And my life certainly changed that day. And I'd never... It was... She had been shot in January of 1995, and she was very lucky not to have been murdered. And the bullet missed an artery in Veronica's leg. She was at her home. And then in September of that year, she went to the home of John Gilligan, and he gave her a ferocious beating. Now, in between times, we got to know each other and became quite friendly because I'd brought out the book, The General.
Even though, obviously, you were rivals for scoops.
Deadly rivals and competitors. Yeah. And we met at an award ceremony a month after she was beaten. And, you know, I wrote about it today in the Indo. She you know, she told myself and Anne, we had a few drinks with her, probably quite a few drinks, and she said, you know, being beaten and attacked by Gilligan like that was more terrifying than a guy coming in with a helmet on him and shooting her in the leg. Now, you can imagine how horrifying all of that was, if to say that. And then she's had a laugh, and because she was a great crack. She says, imagine, she says, because the media awards at the time created a special commendation for her. And she says, imagine this, you're looking at winning an effing award for not writing a story for getting shot in the leg. You know? Yeah. And
nice to remember that side of her, Paul, because she was very vivacious. She was great crack. She was a massive Manchester United fan, I think, from memory. I mean, she loved life.
She did, and that was like she wasn't a normal journalist. Is there any such thing as a normal journalist? No. I know, but in the sense that she wasn't a trained journalist, and she certainly wasn't a crime reporter. You know what I mean? So she just fell into it, and she fell in love with it, and she enjoyed it.
And a bit like you, she was utterly fearless as well.
But she was totally fearless. Like, after she was shot in the leg, she went to visit Jerry Hutch and various other criminals and asked them on her crutches to ask them, did you shoot me? You know? But then that then is all magnified into this sort of like seismic earthquake in your soul when you're standing then looking at her body. And she was wearing the same suit she'd worn when we were on Brian Farrell political program. And in fact, the guard I mentioned, Sean O'Brien, he had met her with me, because the guard used to come out with me when I was on live television. It was a localized protection thing they did. And she was in a bad old humor because she'd been in America. And she says, offhand, she said, Jesus, what are you doing with them? They're not annoying. Is it not annoying having them around with you? And I said, well, they only come now and again. And but it was the same suit she was wearing. That was the first thing that went in my mind.
Paul, the reaction from the state to that, because we were talking about it earlier on, it was an attack on democracy. It was a brutal murder. It was an attack on the state. It was an attack on democracy.
It was an act of narco-terrorism.
And to finish, because we could talk about this for so long, the state did react. It wasn't found wanting in this regard.
It was. I never saw it, and as I said this again in the piece I wrote today, either before or since in our history, we have never seen society galvanised and united in such a way, all across the political spectrum, police, all the arms of the state, the public. It was an extraordinary time, and it was like it was the blitz spirit, we're going to fight back. And the state wasn't found wanting. And people say about Veronica's, you know, Veronica, she never had to sacrifice her life, but her legacy definitely lives on, because the Criminal Assets Bureau and all of that was so very much her legacy, and the state was compelled to do something. But she was trying to remember, asking questions of John Gillingham that the state should have been asking.
Yeah. Just remind us who ultimately went to prison in relation to her murder.
Brian Meehan. Brian Meehan was given life imprisonment, and he is out and about again. He's getting out on temporary release. He has never apologised. He has never explained. Paul Ward, another member of the gang who got rid of the gang, rid of the gun, and got rid of the motorbike. He was convicted, and then his conviction was overturned. On technicalities. Dutchie Holland was done for drugs, the man who murdered Veronica. John Gilligan got 20 years, the man who ordered the murder of Veronica, but he got it for drugs. Three members of the gang became supergrasses, and that's what the state did. It had to improvise and adapt as it went along and create a witness protection program. All three of them were dealt with as well. And quite a few of them lost a lot of money, but the state and the Gardaí who led that campaign, Tony Hickey, Pat Bourne, the Garda Commissioner, were the heroes of this story as well. Yeah. Very much so.
Okay.
And by the way, can I just say before I get sacked, we're going to Veronica's commemoration this evening. Hopefully you'll be coming.
I'll be there.
The Irish Independent have made a three-part podcast, and it's the Indo Daily, on Veronica's life and times and what happened to her and all of that. So
okay.
Instead of give it a plug.
You're absolutely right. Paul Williams, thanks so much for coming in. And we'll see you later on at that commemoration of a heroic and brilliant journalist. Paul Williams, the Irish Independent, Sunday Independent. Thank you indeed for talking to The Hard Shoulder.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.